In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And, well, last episode we were talking about the unfortunate passing. I guess unfortunate. He'd been sick for a long time. So maybe for him it was fortunate that he no longer had to suffer from dementia. But the passing of Sean Connery. Sir Sean Connery, right?
Oh, Connery had dementia?
He was suffering from dementia for the last couple of years of his life.
Oh, man, that's terrible.
Yeah, if you don't know anybody that's ever suffered from dementia before or don't know what it can do, it's not just they forget things. It just completely racks your brain, your body. It's a horrible, terrible thing to have happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So
we talked about Sean Connery last week. And hopefully I turned some people on to a couple of interesting movies. Hopefully there's somebody out there that watched Darby O'Gill and the Little People. Somebody out there that watched Zardoz. Just for cuz.
Yeah.
I even forgot to mention the fact that he had a very interesting role in The Untouchables. But whatever.
Oh.
Very kind of important role in that movie, which was a big movie for the late 80s, early 90s. But normally we try not to 2 weeks in a row talk about celebrities that have passed. But the occasion of this last weekend kind of made both myself and Mike, if I can speak for you a little bit in that, kind of have a double take in the sense of, the previous weekend Sean Connery dies. And then this last weekend, the great Alex Trebek, host of Jeopardy and many other game shows, but best known for like 36 years of hosting Jeopardy. That's basically almost the entirity of our lifespan. The entirety of our understanding of the show Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't have got it before that point in our lives. So this is like, when I hear of Jeopardy, that's the only person I associate with Jeopardy. And he had pancreatic cancer, which is one of those cancers that if you got pancreatic cancer, you're not in good shape. That's not a good cancer.
No, that was
no cancers are really good cancers, but some are survivable. I mean, I live in the house with my wife's grandmother who had lung cancer, had a lobe of her lung removed, and she's perfectly fine. No other cancer showing up anywhere else. It wasn't the type that metastasized and moved anywhere else in her body. It was just located literally at one spot in her lung. They go in laparoscopically, take that crap out. She was recovered fairly quickly, and she's fine.
Good.
Nothing showing up for cancer. So, I mean, you have those type of cancers, which, again, no cancer is good, but there are better cancers to have. There are ones that are like that. That one you can live through. There are some that you can't. Pancreatic cancer is one of those. Anytime a cancer goes metastatic, you're in not necessarily the best situation because once it goes away from the original site, it's really hard to work through. So he knew that it was coming for him. Soon. He did try to do as many shows as possible. In fact, he even taped a segment for the new Ryan Reynolds movie, Free Guy.
Yeah.
He did a small piece for that before he passed away.
Oh, man.
But it's, again, something that kind of you knew was going to happen if you knew that he had pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
But still not fun to hear. But then the fact that it happened 1 week after Sean Connery. Now, in normal life, the two of them are not connected, Alex Trebek, Sean Connery. In normal situations, it's not like they were friends or anything. It's not like they knew each other and did anything. It's not like Sean Connery appeared on Jeopardy and had something major famous happen. However, for anybody that's listening that is a Saturday Night Live fan, the two are completely entwined with each other. You have Will Ferrell's portrayal of Alex Trebek trying to stay calm and do Jeopardy, while Daryl Hammond does a caricature of Sean Connery that is basically just as foul-mouthed as he can get away with, and trying to upset the Alex Trebek character as much as humanly possible.
Yeah.
By just being downright foul and evil. I mean, I don't even know how many things Sean Connery claimed to do to Alex Trebek's mom at different points. And it's just, it's base guttural humor, but it's some of the funniest recurring SNL skits that have ever happened. And anytime Will Ferrell has been back on SNL to host or anything, they always revive it in some way. There's been some other great people doing impressions of other celebrities throughout them. Ben Stiller did a impression of course, Tom Cruise during one of them. And then Norm MacDonald was famous for his impression of Burt Reynolds in the Jeopardy.
Yeah,
the celebrity
absolutely.
Jeopardy's there.
There's so a few of them that were great. David Duchovny as Jeff Goldblum, I think, was one.
Oh, yeah, okay, I remember that one.
Winona Ryder was Bjork. There are so many of them.
I have not seen one, but that just sounds hilarious.
Oh, it's great.
That just sounds funny.
Worth it.
And I'm a sucker for good impressions. It's one of those things that I love seeing good impressions of people. Anyway, for those two to die in such a close proximity to each other and having SNL be such a big part of, I think, culture nowadays, it's just kind of funny. And memes went wild with it.
Yeah.
I believe I even sent you a message saying, you know, maybe SNL was just a prophetic version of the afterlife.
and this is
what's happening in the afterlife is Alex Trebek and Sean Connery and whatever other celebrities end up coming through are on a, you know, never ending celebrity jeopardy. And then I just had to wonder, what the hell did Alex Trebek do? Cause he's such a good guy. What did he do to end up in hell?
To deserve that way? Yeah. Whatever that is.
I don't know. Maybe because he's Canadian, I don't know. But by the way, that's a long-standing joke for anybody that knows me. I love our neighbors to the north. They make excellent donuts. But I jokingly make poke fun at Canada, basically because it has a lot of things that I think would be other than all the snow and the moose. It has a lot of things that I think would be really good to have here in our country. You know, let's start with giving us some Tim Hortons, and then we'll work on what other things that we can get. Keep Bryan Adams and Celine Dion, even though you sent her down to Las Vegas to have a residency. We'll take some of the other stuff.
Agreed.
Those are the jokes too.
Fully agreed.
We took Ryan Reynolds from them, so
true.
You know.
True. I have a question for you.
Alex Trebek was always there. Yes.
I have a question for you. I would like to, if I could, I wanted to make a mention of one or two people as well. Especially more recently. One of the, so speaking of passing away this week, this is more of a local person, but there's also another person I wanted to mention as well. Anyways, I'll just kind of get to it, I guess. Sorry, this is a little tough for me to kind of say. So one of my friends, somebody I've known for quite a number of years, for those of you who already do know this or even may not, I've been a musician, a working musician for quite some time. Up in the Sacramento area where we're from, one of the most prominent clubs out here for a long time is a place called the Boardwalk in Orangevale, which is a suburb of Sacramento just outside of Citrus Heights. Kind of between Citrus Heights and Folsom, essentially, is where Orangevale is. But this club was very prominent in a lot of the bands that I worked in or worked with as well, because I worked there as a sound guy later. A lot of my more milestone musical accomplishments take place in that building. I was a sound guy. I worked for multiple national acts in that venue.
I also opened in a band
for many national acts in that venue.
Sadly you didn't get to play a whole lot, but you opened for Saliva and Filter.
That's true.
Were you playing the day that Dope was there?
No, we played.
Did you open with Dope?
Yeah, we opened for Dope.
With Dope. Okay.
That was the day that we debuted our first album. Prilosis debuted our first album. So I'll explain this to everybody who's listening. So I am currently in a band called Digital Havoc and previously was in a band called Prilosis. We did a couple of full-length albums. We were together for about 10 years. We had a huge amount of fun. I'm still in contact with everybody pretty much who's in that band, especially the final incarnation of the band, what we like to consider the official incarnation of the band. Still good friends with everybody, and I am still working musically with one or two of the members every once in a while. And I'm still in a band with, or I'm still, Carl is in my current project, who is our guitar player for Digital Havoc. He was in Prilosis with me, songwriting partner, all that kind of stuff. But the big catch that I'm getting at is this.
I need to hear some of this music, man. This Prilosis music. It sounds like it might be interesting.
You know, it's decent. You could find it on YouTube, actually. YouTube, oh, okay. Spotify. If you look up Prilosis, make sure you don't spell Pyrolysis. Spell Prilosis, because there is a band called Pyrolysis that came out around the same time and is a completely different type of music. We're more like your thrashy, heavy rock, post-new metal sometimes, depending upon our preference.
I don't know. I heard something that you had one song that sounded a little Creedish, but that's just maybe that's just
a little Creedy, a little Nickelbacky. You know, it was the mid-2000s. Yeah, we were still trying to find our sea legs, you know? Essentially, we were together for a long time, and a lot of our major accomplishments, which include debuting both of our albums, having our release shows there, opening for multiple national bands, they were one of the places that was kind of tantamount to our earning, our reputation in Sacramento as a good live band. And unfortunately, we got the news that the owner of the Boardwalk, his name is Mark Earl, he unfortunately passed away yesterday. We are filming this on Monday. We're talking about Sunday, so recording this on Monday the 9th. This news came out yesterday on the 8th that Mark had passed away from leukemia, actually. And I had no idea. None of us had any idea, I think, that he had leukemia. You know, it's kind of a personal thing, so you leave that to be what it is. But he worked until... He was working that club until the shutdown. I think there was one short time where somebody else took the there was one time when somebody, you know, took essentially like a temporary ownership of the club for a little bit, for like a year or two. Yeah. But the club, as far as I've known, has been around for 40 years. Some of the biggest acts in rock music actually played there. John Entwistle played there at one point. Steve Vai had played there at one point. I saw Gary Hoey there. There's a lot of people that have gone there. And
well, and just from an outside perspective that's not necessarily in the music, in the Sacramento music culture, than being a fan and listening to the different bands there. Mm-hmm. When a former radio personality who had been very influential in the local Sacramento scene, when he was having his own personal health issues, they decided to do a benefit show for him to raise money for his family for, I believe, a final trip to Disneyland. Was that right? Wasn't that what that was for?
Yes, you're talking about, and he was a guy I was going to mention as well.
That show was done at the Boardwalk because my understanding was that seemed to be the most appropriate venue. And he was a guy that had a radio show for a while called Local Licks. It was on the major rock radio station in Sacramento.
Yes.
And he would regularly play local songs from local bands, try to get them some airplay, try to get them some recognition.
Yeah, real radio.
Mark Gilmore, I actually knew him at least somewhat personally. It's like we were friends or anything, but I had met him a few different times. Mm-hmm. He was working as a cook at a golf place that was also a bar and did shows, and so he made food for me even at one point. So that's a
damn good cook too, by the way.
Yeah, you want to get on my good side, you make food for me.
Yeah,
and really, you know, really nice, wonderful guy. But that was the venue that was chosen to do the fundraiser show for him. Bunch of Sacramento area bands turned out for it. That was one of the last shows I've been to. It was a really good show, really well put together, and I think the appropriate venue for for that type of tribute to somebody that meant so much to the Sacramento music scene. That's just, again, that's just my take from the outside.
Yeah, and he, the thing about Mario, you're talking about Mark Gilmore. He was a dear friend of mine as well, and that's one of the things I was going to get to as well in the middle of my stammering. I apologize. He was more than willing to do so much for people. And you know, he was one of the he was one of the good people out here. I was very glad to have worked with him. Every time I worked with him, he was one of the most pleasant people to work with.
And the turnout for the show was a good turnout, especially not even as much the people that showed up to listen to the music, but the bands that showed up and the people that showed up to do performances.
Yeah.
These are people that were really, that you could see really cared about Mark Gilmore. But that's also a testament to the other Mark, the owner, that he was, he set that up at his establishment and used it as a fundraising event for Mark Gilmore's family, and and for, you know, recognizing that both of them had very significant, you know, a significance in the Sacramento music scene. And I can say, other than parking, which is probably the only real issue at the only real issue ever at the boardwalk.
Yeah, parking always sucks.
Parking was awful there, but it's a really great venue, really nicely set up. Sound is pretty good in that venue.
Yeah,
and it's one that's easy to get up, kind of close to the stage. Which is, if it's a band playing that I like to get close to the stage. I don't care if I'm deaf afterwards. I want the performer to know that I'm there to listen to them. And I love messing with people. The fact that I know the lyrics and they don't expect it, it's kind of neat. But anyway, this, I'm sure this, with the experience that you had, I'm sure this guy, this owner, Mark, he probably meant a lot to you.
He did, man. Like I said before, he was one of the most pleasant people to work with, really. Like at the end of the night or middle of the night, you could, you know, during everything, you could come to him and let him know what's going down. He was always really chill. And he was always really nice. And I don't ever remember having a bad night, you know, working for him, really.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But so, it's also sad that with all this, with all the shutdown, with everything else going on, I know summer is a season that you would have been doing some shows. And the fact that you didn't get an opportunity to do another show, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Especially with him.
You know, I know. I actually posted, about that, saying, you know, I always hoped after all this BS 2020 bullshit was over that, you know, eventually I'd be able to say hey and shake his hand and work with him again. But unfortunately, that will not come to pass, but that's okay.
See, and that's the thing is, I think this year, with everything that's happened within this year, it kind of, we always feel the sting of deaths of people that are close to us, even the deaths of people that are celebrities. We've talked about that before, how we identify much with celebrities and how much a person that's technically a stranger to us, because we don't know them, we don't see them, we don't, you know, they don't know us, but how much that really does affect our life. And this year it's very much been amplified.
Yes. And, very much.
Because we're all in this state of, the world has slowed down considerably this year. And it makes us have to, I think, confront those things a little bit more than we used to.
Yeah.
We don't have the things to keep us busy and the distractions to make those things less prominent in our, you know, day-to-day mental affairs.
Absolutely.
Was there anybody else that you wanted to mention?
The other guy I wanted to mention, actually, we talked about Mark Gilmore as well.
Was Mark Gilmore.
Yeah. Okay. So...
sorry, I jumped the gun on you with that. But
oh,
that
you're
one,
good. You're good.
That one was, when you sent me, because you sent me that message, and I, you know, I'd sent the one back to you, like, I'm sorry, I didn't know the gentleman, but I, you know, console for your loss there of your friend. And it put me in mind of the same thing of, you know, again, the first names are the same with Mark. So it put me back in mind of Mark Gilmore and what was done with, you know, the show for him and the fact that he did pass after that. It's, you know, it does bring it to kind of your consciousness, especially more now.
Yeah.
And especially because it has been such a long time that you've been able to see him, because all of this has been happening. And that's kind of, And that's just the added stress that this year has brought upon us. But
yeah,
we're getting close to the end of the year. We're about to go into, sadly, we're going into a Thanksgiving. Well, sadly for some, good for others. We're going into a Thanksgiving where having big family gatherings is probably not the best idea, because we are seeing the big, we're seeing a big uptick in the diagnosis numbers. It looks like there may be some good on the horizon. There's been some talk about a independent medical company, Pfizer, has gone through multiple tests of a possible vaccine that is showing a 90% rate at this point of being able to prevent people from having symptoms from COVID. They've already had their third trial done with it from outside sources doing the trials and judging the trials. This is a company, has no government funding for it. It is it's completely working on its own to try to get this done, which of course means they're going to do whatever they can, make as much money of it as possible. But at least we're looking at a light at the end of the tunnel. They're saying some in spring of next year that they'll be able to widely distribute the vaccine if everything seems to continue right and they're seeing no major side effects that cause it to not be safe for people. So there's a light. We see abilities happening. We're coming to the end of 2020 and the hope that 2021 will be a little bit better year than what 2020 has been for everybody. So that's good to look forward to.
Yeah.
And in that spirit of hope and in the spirit of for me anyway, I don't like speaking for you, but I think you feel the same way about this. In the spirit of honoring Alex Trebek, we can't go through his movies and talk about different movie roles and talk about that kind of trivia. What we can do is do trivia. We are having another trivia night.
That sounds fantastic.
That's what today is about. Yeah. I know it's a little soon. We had our last trivia night fairly recently, but I was thinking, what better way to honor Alex Trebek than to do a bunch of trivia questions? No, we're not doing it style. In fact, we were doing it the same style we did our last, since it worked so well. I'm even using the same games, obviously different cards and different questions.
Nice.
But I'm using the exact same games we used last time because I felt that that one was pretty fairly balanced for you and me.
Yeah.
We came out, I think, what did I win by, 1 point or 2 points?
I think it was like a 1 or 2 point lead. It was pretty decent.
Yeah, it was a fairly small margin, so it wasn't something where like both of us were just getting, or one of the two of us were just getting completely destroyed. We were able to answer the majority of the questions. Some things you knew, some things I knew. So I think we're gonna go with that strategy again. And so here's what we got. We have three different games that we're using.
Okay.
Let me find the pen. Woohoo! All right, we have three different games that we're using. We're using the Music Scene It again.
Okay.
The Trivial Pursuit Pop Culture.
Okay.
And the Trivial Pursuit Totally 80s.
Dig it.
And we're going to go again one at a time, just in the order I listed it to you. So music, pop culture, totally 80s. Okay. I'm going to do it in that order, okay? And I will have you choose the question based on the different categories. The Trivial Pursuit categories, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 categories on each one of those cards. There's only 3 categories on the scenic cards. I don't know what the categories stand for on the scenic cards. It's just green, orange, yellow. You just got to pick one of the questions.
Okay.
And that's how we're doing it. I have my paper here to be able to keep track. You have a paper there to keep track, right?
Yes.
No, you don't. You came unprepared.
Of course I came unprepared. Now I got my little notepad right here, man.
You got lunch detention now.
No.
Teacher is not happy with you.
Man, this is bullshit.
You're going to be snacking erasers all lunch period.
I'm going to be snacking on erasers?
Did you ever get smacking erasers as a punishment?
As a punishment? No.
Yeah, when there were the old chalkboards, you'd have to smack the erasers to get all the chalk off of the
Yeah, you have to hit all the erasers. Yeah. I mean, I know what you're talking about, but I just did that. The teacher never did it, so I was always like, if I did that, I'd just do it just to be funny.
Oh, just to be funny? You weren't doing it to be like teacher's pet?
Oh, hell no. I wasn't a teacher's pet.
Sure.
Were you a teacher's pet?
I was, depending on the teacher. I had a couple teachers that I was teacher's pet for, only because, like, I mean, one of my teachers, like, her husband was like the heir of like a small little candy empire. His family owned a candy factory in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, her husband was like kind of rich, but also had like candy all the time. So she always had candy. So yeah, I was really nice to her. Plus she was kind of cute. So yeah, that teacher I was really nice to. But then, like, I had one teacher who was like, I think I was in second grade, and she looked like she was like 90. And she's the one that got mad at me and called my mom, 'cause I was using a stapler to shoot crayons across the room.
So that's, I mean, she couldn't commend the creativity.
That's my innovative. Mom did, actually. When the teacher told my mom what I was doing, and then my mom was like, "What?" And teacher said, "Show her." And so I showed her how to use, you know, how you open the stapler up and you got to pull that thing back, so you put the staplers inside, or the staples inside. I would pull the thing back, put a crayon in there, and let it go, and the spring would launch it. And my mom's like, "That's completely genius. I never would have thought of that." And the teacher's like, "No, that's destructive." And so afterwards, my mom was like, "I understand. I'm supposed to tell you, you're not supposed to ever do that again. But that was really cool. I like that idea." I'm like, "All right." So my mother understood the creativity.
That is like the best. That is the best parental intervention story I've ever heard. That's fantastic.
My mom thought it was genius, but the teacher did not so much. I did not like that teacher. That's also the teacher that yelled at me because I wouldn't. We were making Santa Claus things at Santa Claus faces. We were supposed to color them and decorate them and whatnot at Christmas time.
Uh-huh.
And back when they made you do that stuff at school, and I wouldn't grab the cotton balls and put the cotton balls in the beard. Oh God, I'm getting itchy just thinking about it, because I don't like touching cotton balls, even to this day. It makes me sick to my stomach.
Okay.
Now I have to go wash, because anyway, I wouldn't touch them. So she got mad and yelled at me in class. So yeah, I didn't like that teacher. So some teachers, I was, you know, I did try to be a little bit of teacher's pet. Other teachers, I just tried to make their life miserable because they weren't people I liked.
Understood.
So, yeah. But anyway, on to our game. We are now officially starting our game, okay?
Okay.
So, let's begin with our first music scenic question. Mike, you pick green, orange, or yellow.
We're going to go with green.
Oh, this sucks. How's it going to be, Jumper and Deep Inside of You were all hits for what pop rock band?
Oh, my goodness. I'm hearing the song How's It Gonna Be in my head right now. I know exactly what that song is. How's it gonna be?
I have my answer written down.
You have your answer written down. I'm trying to think. I don't remember Jumper. It wouldn't be.
You do remember it Jumper? If you heard the first. Go ahead.
I think I know who you're talking about. Is it Lit?
Is that your answer?
Yes.
I'm writing down your answer as Lit. If you heard the first line of Jumper, you would get it.
Okay.
Wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend.
Okay, yeah. I'm not sure that's the right band. I think I'm mixing up my band names. All the bands that showed up on the Zone station, 100.5 station, like the mid-90s, they tend to be all mulled together for me, but I think it was Lit. Please continue.
Well, I can tell you it wasn't Lit. The answer is... Oh, by the way, nope. I got to say what I haven't turned the card over yet. I have to say what my answer was.
Yes.
My answer is Third Eye Blind.
Third Eye Blind. Damn it.
And the answer
is
Third Eye Blind.
Yeah, that's Third Eye Blind. I mm-hmm. As soon as you said it, I was like, shit, it was them.
Yes. Yeah. Most people don't necessarily know that one song is called Jumper, because they know the first line of that song.
I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend. Jumper. Yeah. Of course it's called Jumper.
Of course. So, point for me, no points for you.
No points. Now,
next question. From the pop culture, your choices are movies, TV, music, sports and games, Buzz or fad?
Fad.
What TV character from 20 Minutes into the Future got his start in Coca-Cola commercials?
20 Minutes into the Future? Is 20 Minutes into the Future the name of the show or movie? Or
yeah, something is called, the thing is called 20 Minutes into the Future. Yes, that's in italics on the question card. So yes, that's the name of something, a show, a movie, of I don't know exactly what, but that is the name of something. 20 Minutes into the Future.
I have
got his start in Coca-Cola commercials.
I have no clue. I've never heard of 20 Minutes into the Future.
So no clue?
No clue. I'm passing.
My guess is Max Headroom. Do you remember Max Headroom?
I do, and I don't remember. I thought Max Headroom was just called Max Headroom.
I thought so. I think so, too, but that's the only thing I can guess that might be 20 minutes in the future. He had that kind of futuristic thing going on.
Yeah, totally.
I remember there was some kind of commercial thing he started with. That's why it's my guess. It's the only thing I can think of.
Okay.
So the answer is?
Yeah.
I was Max Headroom.
Shut the front door, dude. Wow.
Yep.
Boy, I am tanking this time. Okay.
That was the only thing I could come up with. It was just like,
good guess.
What would have been thought of as the future back then?
Good guess, dude.
You know why I remember Max Headroom?
Why?
I remember him because of Spaceballs more than anything else. There's a similar character. There's a parody character in Spaceballs. He works for a piece of the Hut.
He's oh, the one wow.
That contacts Lone Star and Barf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barf.
So it was just in my head of like, that's the only thing I can remember. And
well done.
I can't think of the dude's name that did the Max Headroom. It's the guy who's I love him as an actor and I can't think of his name.
Oh, I was gonna say Honey I Shrunk the Kids, Lawnmower Man.
The second Lawnmower Man, not the first one.
Yeah, yeah,
the first one was Jeff Fahey. He's in the second one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's also in the TV miniseries The Stand. He's he's Trash Can Man.
Yeah,
I can't think of his name, but I love him. He's such a good actor.
Yeah, he was in. I think it's really funny. The only thing I can remember he was in, I think he was in Murphy Brown as well. In one of those, he was.
He might have been. He might have been. Yeah. Matt Frewer.
Matt Frewer.
It took
yes.
me a second to get it in my brain. Matt
yeah,
Frewer.
Dude, he was in like I saw him on an episode of Star Trek at one point. TOS, obviously, but yeah, he was on TNG. Yeah,
he was on a TV show that I love, Eureka.
Eureka's sci-fi comedy good. Show. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the
game warden there, and he had an Australian accent. But I love him in almost everything that he does. So.
Yeah.
All right. On to the next question. This is the totally question. Your choices are headlines, TV, movie, music, sports and leisure. Found out what the UC was from last time. Wild card.
Let's do music.
Music. What U2 hit noted, I have run, I have crawled, I have scaled these city walls only to be with you.
Oh, what's the song title?
Yes.
Oh, I think it's I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, right?
That is my answer as well. And the answer is... Still haven't found what I'm looking for. Damn, that's a long title.
Yeah.
It's like, is this where Panic at the Disco decided to, and Fall Out Boy decided to write their titles from? Is it two titles? I mean, seriously, that's a long-ass title. And by the way, an amazing song to hear performed live. I just want to say that.
That's a really good song.
I've had the joy of being able to go to a U2 concert, and that was an amazing song to hear live. Of course, every song by them was an amazing song to hear live. That was probably the second best concert I ever saw in my entire life. Great show.
Wow.
All right. So, hey, Mike.
Yes, yes, yes. I finally got a point. I'm finally on the board. You're in three. You are up three, and I am up one.
here's the funny thing. I'm writing down the answers because I have to write down my answer. Mm-hmm. And so I was writing down, still haven't found what I'm looking for. And I have what's written there is still haven't found what look kind of, because I couldn't write the whole thing down. And then under your, that's under my side, right? Under your side, I have the word same, because like, I know it's the same thing.
That's fantastic.
I wasn't going to write that shit again. So onto the back to the music scene. It green, orange, yellow.
Let's do orange this time.
If you got the money, honey, we got your disease. Sang Axl Rose on his band's 1988 breakthrough hard rock smash. Name it.
Gee, I wonder what it is.
I don't know. What is it?
It's come on, man. You know it's Welcome to the Jungle.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
and
it
that's
is.
What I have down. Welcome to the Jungle.
Welcome to the Jingle.
And of course, we're both right.
Yep.
Another point for Mike. All right.
Hooray! 2 points for me.
On to the pop culture Trivial Pursuit. Movies, TV, music, sports and leisure, buzz or fad?
Let's do TV.
What was John Cage's nickname on Ally McBeal?
What?
What was John Cage's nickname on Ally McBeal?
I don't even know. I have zero context. I got nothing, man.
Apparently, if you
what Sparky, nothing. I have no okay. idea. I'm just going to say my answer is Sparky and leave it.
Okay, your answer is Sparky.
Why not? I literally have no context.
My answer is Dancing Baby, because it's literally the only thing I remember from Ally McBeal was the freaking Dancing Baby. So I'm pretty sure we're both. But let's see. Oh my God, the answer is not Dancing Baby or Sparky. Apparently the answer is The Biscuit.
The Biscuit? All right.
The Biscuit. I know.
I got nothing.
Yeah. So that's a big zero for both of us. Oh no, my streak is over. What's gonna happen?
Oh no.
All right.
So totally you're at 4 80s. And I'm at 2, right? That's where we're at?
Yeah, that's where we're at. Okay. Totally 80s. We have headlines, TV, movie, music, sports and leisure, and wild card.
Let's do movies.
Movies. What Village Voice cartoonist was enlisted to write the script for the 1980 film adaptation of Popeye?
I'll
read it again. What Village Voice?
Village Voice
being a periodical cartoonist, yeah, was enlisted to write the script for the 1980 film adaptation of Popeye.
That is so obscure, but I mean, the only cartoonist that I can, there's a couple of cartoonists I can come up with. I highly doubt any of them are who this guy is, but I'm just going to throw out a limb and say Jim Davis. I doubt that's the case, okay, but I'm going to guess.
So you're going for the Garfield guy.
Yeah, I mean, there was between him and Gary Larson.
I at least know he's a Garfield guy.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not Larson, but yeah, I mean, I at least know Jim Davis is the Garfield guy. But
yeah.
My answer, by the way, is no clue, because I have no idea. So good luck to you. Hope it's Jim Davis so you get another point. The answer is Jules Pfeiffer?
Who?
Jules Pfeiffer.
I have no idea who that is.
Neither do I.
Oh, well.
All right. I think this is an appropriate time for us to take a little break. Give you all a little break. When we come back, we will come back to a few more rounds. Don't know how many more, but enough more rounds to make it fun of Trivia Night number 3. See you in a bit.
All right.
Hey, friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
And we're back.
Hello.
Playing some more trivia games.
Yeah.
All right. And I don't know how many more rounds we're going to do this, because we're just going to do it for as long as we have fun doing it. Because, hey, you can listen and enjoy. And yeah, that's what we're here for, right? Right.
Exactly.
Okay. We are back to the music scenic questions. Are you ready, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Green, orange, or yellow?
Let's do yellow this time.
All right. Like a Rock, used for many years on Chevrolet commercials, was a 1986 hit for what Heartland rocker?
Oh, man.
Oh, crap. I can't think of the name right now. Damn it, damn it, damn
man.
It.
Boy, this has been a while. I have the answer if you want to give your answer first. I know what it is.
All right. I wrote mine down.
You wrote yours down?
Yes. So go ahead, sir.
Okay. Bob Seger.
And I also wrote down Bob Seger, because what was going on in my mind was the band. The Silver Bullet Band?
Yeah.
I was thinking of that, and I'm like, damn it, damn it, damn it. Turn the page. I was get his name to come out, and then I'm like, I got it. And of course, the answer is Bob Seger.
Bob Seger.
You know, thinking of some night moves and all that shit.
Yeah.
You're familiar with the movie American Pop, right? The Bakshi movie.
I think I've seen it like only once, and it's been like 15 years. But yeah, I am familiar.
Yeah, that's one of the Night Moves is like one of the last songs in that one.
Oh wow! Oh man!
My one of my teachers in high school, the biggest problem he had with that movie was that the story of the guy who performs the Night Move song in that movie.
Yeah.
He said it isn't right, doesn't fit with what Night Moves was supposed to be. Bob Seger wrote it, the thing that Bob Seger had in his mind when he wrote it. So just a fun little personal story.
Oh, anyway,
moving on. Trivial Pursuit pop culture,
right? Culture. Pop culture.
Movies, TV, music, sports and games, buzz and fad.
Let's do movies.
Sports and games would have been funny. What drink does Kiss prefer served cold, as sung about in 1974?
first place my mind went was the fact that Kiss did Pepsi commercials, and I think they ended up doing a Dr. Pepper commercial. More recently, that's not the drink, but 1974.
Yeah, 1974.
That's the debut album. I'm just going to say, for the hell of it, it's not a brand name, is it? Is it just like a type of drink? Because I would say like...
I can't see the answer.
I want to. That's right. I want to say whiskey. I want to say whiskey, but I'm not positive.
Here's the thing. If it's a brand of whiskey, I will give that to you.
Okay.
Because of the sense of it doesn't necessarily I'm have to be brand name. It can just be the rough drink. So your answer is whiskey.
Yes.
Okay. My answer is beer, because I honestly don't know, so I'm just guessing beer. Because
I don't know why anybody that doesn't know me.
I'm not a Kiss fan at all.
I just, you know, they're all right. Some of the albums are cool. Like, the Destroyer album is awesome, but I'm not really, like, deep into the Kiss lore, you know?
Yeah. All right. The answer to what drink does Kiss prefer served cold, as sung about in 1974? The answer is gin, apparently.
Man.
So
I got to go back and watch that. Yeah, I got to watch that. Listen to what that song is they're talking about.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Yeah.
Trivial Pursuit, totally 80s. Again, your categories are headlines, TV, movie, music, sports and leisure, and wild card.
Let's do wild card.
Okay. Whose explicit photos were banned from DC's Corcoran Gallery, prompting protesters to project slides of the images onto the building's facade?
Read that question again, if you don't mind.
Whose explicit photos were banned from DC's Corcoran Gallery, prompting protesters to project slides of the images into the building's facade?
And this is 80s?
This is in the 80s, yeah.
The only DC I can think of is like DC Comics for some reason, and it doesn't.
No, DC, like the District of Columbia.
Yeah, Washington, DC.
The Corcoran Gallery, which is an art gallery, I'm assuming.
Marilyn Monroe?
Okay, my answer is Monroe. My answer is Madonna.
Ooh.
Just because 80s and explicit photos?
Yeah.
That seems like the appropriate answer. All right. The answer is Robert Mapplethorpe's.
Who?
Maybe he's the artist. Robert Mapplethorpe. I'm guessing he's the artist.
Oh, okay.
The person that's naked.
Okay.
So
yeah. I'm assuming he had taken some photographs. And maybe not of himself or anything, but I'm assuming he had taken some risque looking photographs, and in retaliation, because I'm gonna have to see who did you say Robert Mapplethorpe? I'm gonna have to look this up.
Yeah, Robert Mapplethorpe. So, yeah, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about, but I'm gonna find out.
Maple's got two P's in it, bro.
Mapplethorpe's.
Is it Mapplethorpe?
Okay, Mapplethorpe.
Yep, that is. So, yeah, you're right. Mapplethorpe would be the appropriate pronunciation. My mistake.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm going to look him up later. I'm going to find out what that's about.
Yeah, because that's. Plus, I mean, maybe boobies.
I mean, possibly. That's not really what I'm talking about. Like, personally, I was just like, why would something be projected on the side of a building in protest? Like, what's the big deal about them? Or maybe what's the fact that they weren't really a big deal and they were thrown up because, you know, there was some overreaction or something?
His work featured an array of subjects, including celebrity portraits, male and female nudes, self-portraits, and still life images. So I'm guessing there were some male and female nudes.
Oh, okay.
And of course, conservative 80s wasn't cool with that. So,
right.
You know, looks like there's also I see models that are black and white, touching each other, embracing each other, that kind of stuff, which would not have flown
that would be 80s. A thing.
That would not have. Yeah. That would not have worked out well.
Yeah. That would be a thing. Yeah, it's so crazy to still think that stuff like that is still kind of a big deal in certain circles, but it's definitely crazier to think that it was that big of a deal all over the place in such a short period of time ago, you know?
Which is, yeah, it is within our lifetime. It's just,
yeah.
It's like, moving on.
Yeah, let's move on.
Lighthearted, keep us feeling good. Music scene it.
Got it.
Green question, orange question, yellow question.
We'll go back to green.
All right. I think we're both going to get this one.
Okay.
Which 1984 movie included the songs Baby, I'm a Star, Take Me With You, and Darling Nikki?
Oh my goodness. Purple Rain?
That is what I wrote as my answer as well. And the answer is, wouldn't you know it, Purple Rain. Because, I mean, Darling Nikki. I mean,
that's the dead giveaway. That's the giveaway.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And I've never even seen Purple Rain all the way through because I don't want to. So, but I know where Darling Nikki comes from.
I will tell you this, right. Like, out of music-based movies, I have watched one or two. They're always cringe. I'm not really a big fan of music-based movies, and I don't mean musicals. I mean music movies.
No, I know, like, what you're saying.
Purple Rain, I put in the same wheelhouse as, like, Cool as Ice. You know what I mean? Or Moonwalker. Okay. Like, that's those types of music-based movies always are cringe, always weird. Moonwalker, though, was the shit just because of all the special effects. The special effects were absolutely fantastic. And I will confess
that,
right now
that
to
and Joe Pesci.
Yeah, dude.
Don't forget Joe Pesci. It
absolutely. Joe Pesci helped
everywhere.
Make that damn movie. I will say this, though. I have seen Cool as Ice voluntarily with a Riff Tracks track. And it is the way to watch that movie. I think it's available. I don't know if it was on Netflix or on Hulu or Amazon. Dude, if you have the I am giving my full endorsement of the Riff Tracks parody of Cool as Ice. Just like, oh, you know what? Just as I would endorse the Riff Tracks of Twilight as well. It's worth it.
I mean, I'm going to say this right now. It's definitely not and or could be the best movie that Vanilla Ice was in. The best movie Vanilla Ice was in was TMNT 2.
Well, of course, yeah.
And that's just how it is. Sadly, the second best movie that Vanilla Ice was in was the Adam Sandler and Andy Samberg movie. That's My Boy or whatever it is. Sadly, that's the second best movie he was in, and that movie is just. I mean, there's funny parts in that movie. Don't get me wrong, but that movie is so effed up. It's like a next level of effed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, Happy Madison has started to just not give a fuck anymore.
Well, no, that,
especially with the more recent Netflix stuff. They definitely did that, but they were going that direction for a while.
That specific movie is just... I'm not saying not to watch it because it's funny as shit, but it's a level of... It's like, what? I mean, when there is a you know, some movies have movies should have a plot of some type or another. Some don't, interestingly enough, but movies should have a plot of some type. And then good movies have multiple subplots that help to feed the total plot, but are interesting in and of themselves. And some movies have even the subplots have subplots. When one of your subplots is incest.
Oh my. I've never seen this film.
That's one of your subplots. And like, it's like in a weird and twisted way and involves stolen valor as well. It's just, there's so much going on in this movie.
No. Oh yeah. No. Okay. Yeah. So
I mean, the upside is it takes an actor who's done a lot of serious stuff in his life and is currently doing as part of a big, huge, serious TV show,
right?
and plays an important role in this big, huge TV show,
right?
And it's the few times that he has worked with Adam Sandler and stuff, he is willing to go all the way on. Being a weird, messed up, just totally different character than anything that he does in anything else. And I mean, in Grown Ups 2, he plays a college frat boy whose best friend is Taylor Lautner and Arnold Schwarzenegger's kid that has the last name Schwarzenegger, the bulletproof one for the bulletproof Kennedy one.
right,
you know about that, right?
No,
that old joke. That the old joke, why did Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver get married? So they could have a bulletproof Kennedy.
Oh,
it's
my
a joke
God.
In bad taste, but
It's one of those old jokes. Terrible.
It is. It is an awful joke. No, the actor is Milo Ventimiglia, whatever his last name is. I can never get that dude's last name right. He was in Gilmore Girls for the longest time. He was on Heroes. He was kind of the main star of Heroes for the longest time. And now he's in This Is Us, the TV show This Is Us.
Oh, cool.
Like the big, huge drama that's been – and he plays the dad in that, so it's like a really serious role. And it's great because he's a very good actor. He's the guy that I mentioned before. He looks like – he has the same facial condition as Sylvester Stallone, where one part of his lip doesn't work properly because he's had facial nerves damaged. So he's actually played Sylvester Stallone's kid in a couple of the Rocky movies. He actually played his son in a couple of the Rockies because he does resemble. Yeah, he does resemble him. In Grown Ups 2, he plays a college frat boy who's just a total, you know, bro dude. And then in That's My Boy, I think that's the name of the movie. He is a guy who pretends to be in the Marines, stolen valor, who is having sex with his sister. So yeah,
it's oh my God,
weird. And that's a subplot. You only find that out like three quarters of the way through the movie, and it's weird. Yeah. Again, fun movie. Don't watch it with anybody that's easily offended. And just be in for the wildest ride that you could possibly imagine in a movie.
Good Lord.
It's a crazy film.
I wasn't even going that way with what I was talking about. When I said that I endorsed watching Cool as Ice, I meant watch Cool as Ice, the Riff Tracks version only. Because the only way that you can actually watch that film is with a bowl of popcorn, a good drink, and just laughing your ass off, listening to these guys make the best, like they come up with the best lines against the in the name of making fun of this movie as it happens. It is brilliant.
Okay, I might try it, but we'll see. I still
look,
don't know
pal,
that I would,
if you can it. Sit through the I, Twilight I, films without a commentary track, you could sit through this one with a commentary track.
That's because I like being married.
Hey, look, my wife doesn't want to watch Twilight. She can't stand it.
That's great. My wife does, and so I make my own commentary track. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And it's hilarious.
Good. You know what? We
Moving
oh God,
on.
I almost
I can say all this because I don't think my wife even listens to the podcast
okay.
anymore. So. her thought is, I hear you talking enough on a regular basis. I don't need to listen to your podcast.
Understood.
And I can't really fault her for that. I really, really
no,
can't.
No, no, not at all.
On to the next question, damn it. We're on our pop culture question. So, movie, TV, music, sports and games, buzz, or fad?
Let's go with buzz.
What prescription drug has politician Bob Dole done a series of ads for?
Oh, my God. I legit don't know that. I'll tell you what Bob Dole says. Prescription drug?
God.
Oh, man.
I can think of the description of it. I just can't think of it. Damn it. Ah, there it is.
Did you say there it is and it, as in you got your answer in your head, or there it is as in you found it on Google?
No, I did not find it on Google. The answer came into my head.
Okay.
I'll explain my thought process after I give you my answer.
Okay.
Okay?
I don't know why. Like, do you have to name the specific medicine, or can I give the general? Because for some reason, I'm thinking a hemorrhoid cream, and I don't think it's that for sure.
Preferably the name of the medication, but I'm willing to give a point if you can say the type of medication.
Okay, I'm going to stick with hemorrhoid cream and say Preparation H.
I would say that. Yeah, if it's a hemorrhoid cream, I give that to you. So here's my thought process.
Okay.
I believe I know what this is because I believe there was a little bit of a scandal with it. The thought process was, oh my God, an ED medication. It's an erection medication. It's the little blue pill. God damn it. What's the little blue pill called?
Viagra?
Damn it. Viagra. There it is. That's where the thought process was. So you see where I was there. I got it, right?
Yeah.
All right. The answer is Viagra.
Shut up.
I remember that.
He endorsed Viagra?
He did, and I remember it was like a big deal. Because like, I remember when he was running for president. Okay.
Okay.
I remember when he was running for president, and I remember that I knew somebody who was kind of that Alex Keaton kind of young Republican kind of thing going on, and was like totally entranced with Bob Dole running for president. I used to do imitations of Bob Dole because he had an arm that was I think it was damaged in war. Because he was a military vet. And so he had an arm that didn't work properly anymore. He held it close to his chest. So easy for physically to do an impression of him. But then to do his voice, I would do an impression of his voice for this person on a regular basis. And I'd just repeat over and over again, I'm Bob Dole. And so and it's not a bad approximation since it's been years since I've heard it. But I remember when the commercials come out and it was like, oh my God, Bob Dole is going for Viagra. I mean, he's an old dude, can't get it up. All right. Go, dude.
Well, you know, it's about having priorities, see? That's the deal.
It is.
I'm Bob Dole and I endorse this message. You should
Yeah.
Just the idea.
I'm Bob Dole. I want an erection. My wife wants me to have an erection. Oh, I'm going to get it. If I have it for more than 4 hours, I need to see the doctor. But since I won't give you universal health care, I'm going to have to pay for it myself.
Dude.
Sorry. Little dig there. Anyway.
I'm just...
Do you remember
having trouble
on
the sack? Swallow this. It's just the idea...
Do you remember Bob Dole at all as a politician?
I remember Bob Dole as a politician. Yes, I did not know that he endorsed Viagra. That's the part. It's just like, was he endorsing it while he was running for president?
No, this is after. Viagra wasn't, I think, even available during that time period. That was early 90s. I think that came a little bit later.
Yeah.
This was after. I think it would be fun just to go onto YouTube and try to check out if there's any old Bob Dole Viagra ads. That would be hilarious to see.
At the very end of it, I would doctor in and I'm Bob Dole and I approve this message kind of a deal.
Hell yes. Of course. That's what you have to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Next question from the Totally 80s. We have headlines, TV, movie, music, sports and leisure, and wild card.
Let's set up the music again. Let's do another music.
What quirky Jim Carroll song told of how Judy jumped in front of a subway train, Eddie got slit in the jugular vein?
Judy jumped in front of a subway train, Eddie got slit in the jugular vein?
Yes, song by Jim Carroll.
How upbeat.
A quirky song, apparently. Quirky, yeah, quirky. Not upbeat at all.
Huh. I am not at all familiar with Jim Carroll's material. And I sure as hell don't know those lyrics, but I kind of want to look them up to see how things went.
Yeah. So no answer?
I'm going to pass on this one.
All right. I am submitting the answer of New York sucks. Because that sounds like it's probably taking place in New York subway train. I'm just throwing that out as an answer. If I'm right, then we're done with the game. I'm just saying that right now.
You got a pretty
good
lead.
The answer is people who died.
What the fuck?
It's not about the lead that we would be done with the game. It would be I would be done with the game because that was just literally an answer I pulled out of my ass. So if that ended up being right, I'm done. I'm walking away. Especially if, like, a song was actually called New York Sucks. That's right. Like, nope, I'm out.
People who died?
Yeah, people who died. That's quirky, I guess.
I'm looking this up too.
All right, next question from the music scene. It. Green, orange, or yellow?
Green.
What legendary band's most popular songs include? This isn't fair. Truckin', Casey Jones, and Friend of the Devil.
Hey, James.
Yeah.
What'd the Deadhead say when the drugs wore off?
I don't know what.
This music sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my answer, Grateful Dead.
Yeah. I mean, Truckin' is the only one that I know, but.
Oh, man, Friend of the Devil. Friend of the Devil is actually pretty good.
There, my friend.
And Casey Jones. You don't know, you know Casey Jones. You know Casey Jones.
Do I?
Driving that train high on cocaine.
Nope.
Casey Jones, you better watch your speed. You've never heard that song? Nope. Oh, okay.
No, and I'm great. I'm grateful. And I'm alive, so fuck them. Anyway. The Grateful Dead, of course, is the answer. Because yeah,
thank you for the positive response to the joke. By the way, that was a joke.
Anyway, next category. This is okay. Sorry, no. I'm going to say something. This is another one of those bands that their fan base is rabid as hell, and they just cannot understand how other people can't like the music. And so, especially in the 90s, when there was this whole, like, resurgence of some of the 60s hippie culture stuff, you know, tie came back in style.
Yeah.
The bell-bottom pants came back in style. And everybody was starting to listen to 60s music again, right? Teenagers, not just, like, the people who lived in the 60s, but, like, teenagers were being introduced to it. Once the grunge thing hit and kind of broke down pop's walls of domination over music, you saw the influx back of the 60s artists, and that's why people of our generation, I think, got the chance to truly experience things like as teenagers, experience Led Zeppelin, experience Cream, experience Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, you know? We got that mad influx of that with – there was like this huge cultural influx from the 70s and the 60s, like right in the 90s out of nowhere.
And it was cool. It was great.
Yeah.
But like you'd get these like 16-year-olds that suddenly, you know, they discovered pot, and like literally the first freaking band that they latch onto is other than it's almost like Sublime was like the gateway drug into getting into Grateful Dead. At least that was my experience. People would like Sublime because it was, you know, a modern band, something they listened to. And somehow that ska gatewayed them into the freaking Grateful Dead, and it's like, are you serious? What the hell is wrong with you?
Nah, that makes total sense. So, like, I get the vibe. The vibe is hella similar. It really is.
I mean, I do kind of understand, but at the same time, it's like, no. No, and so I don't even know how many fellow teenagers I dealt with that would be sticking the freaking bears on every damn thing. And just...
Oh, yeah.
Just the craziness of it. And it's like, no, 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 please don't. But then again, I felt the same way about all the people that got into like Led Zeppelin. This is the greatest rock band ever. Shut up. Anyway.
You are scoffed at from the guy who has a Led Zeppelin tattoo on his arm.
Why do you think I said it? Anyway, we're in what? Pop culture, right? Pop culture.
Yeah, pop culture.
Right? Did we pick a new question?
No, we did not.
Movie, TV, music, sports and games, buzz or fad?
Let's do another buzz.
You're not going to get this question. You might actually. I know I won't. What was the name of the failed restaurant owned by? Now I know what you're thinking. I'm going to say. You think I'm going to say Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, Bruce Willis? No. Owned by Naomi Campbell, Elle McPherson, and Claudia Schiffer.
What the fuck? They opened a restaurant?
I mean,
did it fail because there wasn't food in it?
That's what I'm.
So sorry.
They serve heroin and cocaine. I mean, seriously. Heroin, cocaine, and air. That's what you get at this restaurant.
That's it. That's the name of the restaurant right there.
Also cotton balls.
Oh, that's so terrible. Oh, God.
I mean, seriously. Who goes to that restaurant?
That's so terrible. What would you have there?
When I was referencing, of course, Planet Hollywood, I could see that Bruce Willis, okay, I know he enjoys a good cappuccino. That's a movie reference. Sylvester Stallone, I've seen him, you know, tenderizing whole side of cattle. So maybe we get some good steak there, some good ribs or something, right?
Fist tenderized and, ribs.
And, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, that dude's from, like, Austria, which is right next to Germany and like pastries, dude. So I'm thinking we're set, man. You got pastries, you got steak. I'm feeling good about this. A little cappuccino to take care of it. That's what I'm expecting at Planet Hollywood. I mean, I'm guessing the food wasn't good because it went under. But also, actors probably shouldn't run restaurants.
I mean,
unless your name sounds like a food item. And then hopefully you devote enough time to the restaurant that you can stop acting and stop singing and performing because you're a bad singer and a bad actor. And so is your brother. That's a whole different other reference. And if you get it, I applaud
I'm,
you.
I'm trying to, yeah, I'm trying to actually think what that is.
That's a Wahlberg reference.
Oh,
say hi to your moms for me.
Okay.
But anyway, back to the question. The restaurant that Naomi Campbell... So you don't have an answer, right?
I don't have an answer. Your answer is better than mine. I'd give this to you. What would they have there?
No clue. I don't know. We will have to research this. I'm going to write this one down.
Yeah, me too.
The name of this restaurant, it was... Seriously? This is the most uninspired name ever. Don't even look this up, because this is just dumb. Fashion Cafe.
That's the name of the fucking restaurant?
That's the name of the restaurant. They couldn't even come up with something interesting. Like, Planet Hollywood is at least somewhat interesting.
Yeah, that sounds larger. Yeah, you want to go. Stuff. You want to see, like, the cool pictures and shit on the walls. You'll see movie memorabilia. I mean, you'll have the Hollywood sign, in a painting on a mural or something. Like, did you expect to see something like that? Fashion Cafe? The fuck does that
Fashion
mean?
Fashion Cafe. I mean, even the Wahlberg family with their Wahlbergers. At least a pun on their name, right?
Right,
at least
right.
It's that. And you know what you're getting there. You're going to go there and have a burger because it's called Wahlburgers. They have to be making burgers. Now, if you go in there and the only thing they're serving is like chicken strips and shit, fuck
right,
that noise.
Right,
they
sorry.
Need a damn burger. It's just like when you go into fast food joint like Whataburgers, you expect a burger. If the name of the type of food, like Taco Bell, you need to have a taco and you can't eat belts. Certain kinds you can. Whole different story. Anyway, but you expect
what?
Even Del Taco, the low rent version of Taco Bell, which I mean, Taco Bell is a low rent version of food. So what does that put? I mean, remember when I was talking about subplots before?
Extreme Bell is the budgeting subplot. Yes.
Del Taco is the subplot.
Hey, sometimes you have to compromise.
But you still get a frick taco, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I do applaud the fact you can get a taco and you can get french fries at the same place. That's kind of nice because sometimes I like both. Sometimes I put french fries in the taco. Just saying. Anyway, moving on.
My wife actually likes to put her french fries, like if she gets a burger at McDonald's, she likes to take the french fries.
Oh, yeah, you put the french fries on the...
Yeah.
It's best with Burger King. Something about Burger King's french fries mixed with their hamburger work better than any other place.
I will pass that tip off, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know why it just seems to be the one that works. Yeah, it seems to be the one that works the best. I don't know exactly why.
You have a problem? I always have a problem with Burger King's lettuce. That's kind of like weird.
We are not having the hamburger episode today.
Okay.
This is not the hamburger episode.
Fashion Cafe. That's the name of the place. They sound the place sounds like it serves cocaine in air.
Oh God. I mean, I would say I apologize to any models listening to this, but let's be real. What models are listening to us talk? None.
We definitely will not be getting the endorsement from anyone that is a model. I highly doubt that.
Yeah.
And if we do, it would be a milestone. It would be a massive, massive milestone.
Yeah.
Not saying it's entirely impossible, but come on.
It's pretty much impossible. It's pretty much impossible.
Ah, yeah.
Next set of questions from Totally 80s. Headlines, TV, movie, music, sports and leisure, or wild card?
Let's just do sports and leisure. I know I'm going to get this wrong, but I pretty much lost this whole game at this point, so now I'm doing it for fun.
Okay.
I mean, not to say that I wasn't doing it for fun before, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, just to clarify.
That in...
Sorry. Keep going.
You want me to do the question or not? Are you done?
Yeah, I'm good.
Are you done? Who griped that in Czechoslovakia there was no freedom of the press and in the U.S. there was no freedom from the press?
This was sports and leisure?
I spelled that so wrong.
That's the sports and leisure question.
That's the sports and leisure question.
Dude, I'm lost. I have no clue.
Okay. Who? I'm guessing a tennis star, Navratilova, I think was her name. I did not spell it right.
In the
80s? I know I didn't spell it right. I probably am not pronouncing it exactly right, but that's my guess.
Okay.
Because that's the only person I could think of that might have come from Czechoslovakia. I may be completely wrong about where she came from, but that's the only guess that I have. And the answer is, holy crap.
Did you get it?
I did.
All right, that's it. I give up. I'm done. No way. Fuck off.
I'm serious.
Fuck off.
I'm completely serious, Martina Navratilova. I'm actually not bad on my spelling.
I don't even know who the fuck that is.
She was a tennis player. It's the only person I could think of from Czechoslovakia back in the 80s. Like, seriously, that's the only person I could think of was she was a tennis player.
That's it. I give up.
This is crazy.
We're
not done yet.
I concede this contest.
One more round.
Okay, one more round.
Okay. One more round.
For the game.
All right.
No, it's not for the game. James wins. But one more round.
I'll do that. I'll do one more round.
No,
for the game.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm good with that.
You want to call it for the game?
Yeah, we'll do one more round for the game.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Let's see what I'm giving up. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got you at 5. Is that right?
I think 4. I think I see you at 9 and I'm at 5.
Yeah. You're at 5. I'm at 9. Okay.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. This one can be for the game.
Okay.
So whoever wins the most out of the next three. I'm good with that. I'm good with upping the stakes like that. That's good.
Okay. Whoever wins the most out of the next three? Oh, okay. So we're doing a three-question. Okay.
Yeah, because we're doing the whole round. So whoever wins the most out of the round.
Round of three. Gotcha. Last round of three. Gotcha.
Green, orange, yellow.
Green.
What 50s legends hits include Maybelline, Johnny B. Goode, and Too Much Monkey Business?
You and I both know this is Chuck Berry. Marty McFly. It's Marty McFly, James. Just answer that.
So, yes, we both know that. I mean, I don't know. I don't think we would have got the orange question. What Talking Heads song featured the lyrics, "This is not my beautiful house, this is not my beautiful wife"?
Oh, my God.
I don't know enough Talking Heads.
No, that's I think it's called Letting the Days Go By. Apparently, no, Once in a Lifetime. Once in a Lifetime.
There you go.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's, and then I was listening to the lyrics in my head. Yeah.
I think we also both would have got the yellow question.
What was that?
What was Elvis Presley's middle name?
Aaron.
Bonus point, spell it.
A-A-R-O-N?
No, it's actually A-R-O-N. It is A-A-R-O-N on his tombstone,
which
is part
why.
Of the reason why people think he wasn't dead. But his middle name is A-R-O-N.
Wait a minute. His name, his middle name, as it's spelled on his tombstone, is not correct? And they've never changed
it? Speculation that, no, that's part of the speculation that he was not really dead.
Oh, fuck off. No way. Okay. Okay. First off, that's a weird thing. That's like saying Paul is dead because he was barefoot on an album cover. And people say that, but that's a strange, I mean, it's a simple typing mistake.
Yeah, but that's what they say.
I did not know that though. I've seen his tombstone and I've been to Graceland, so that's why I spelled it that way, but. Very exactly. Interesting.
All right. We're on to the pop culture card.
Okay.
Movie, TV, music, sports and leisure, buzz and fad.
Let's do another buzz one.
Jesus Christ.
What?
That's not the answer. What rocker created controversy when he married his 13-year-old cousin?
Jesus Christ? that would be, obviously, we both know this, don't we? Didn't you mention this, like, last podcast, too, Jerry Lee Lewis?
Yeah,
because we were talking about Dennis Quaid, yeah.
Yeah, that's why, hence my exclamation of Jesus Christ, because it's like... I mean, the first card with the Chuck Berry card, you've covered Johnny B. Goode.
Yeah.
So obviously you know who it is.
They should again, like take out the like mad hits because Maybelline, I know Maybelline. Like I know Maybelline. I highly doubted you knew Maybelline. I know a big thing about Maybelline. Maybelline is like the Payola scandal song. It's the one that created, it's the one that started the Payola controversy. Like I know that shit. That's I'll probably talk about it at one point.
Now that I didn't know about it, but I know the song.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it's like, seriously, that one was just like, great. I know we both know this one. And then with this other one, it's like, we just talked about it. We both know who that is too. So this has become interesting though, because we're sitting at a tie.
Yeah, we are.
So. TV, movie, music, sports and leisure, or wild card?
You know what? Just for the hell of it, let's go wild card on this last one.
Son of a... Whose death did Howard Cosell announce during Monday Night Football on December 8th, 1980? I wrote my down. If I'm right and you don't get this and you don't get the answer,
I
don't know.
1980?
Specifically December 8th, 1980.
Right. Oh my God. I had to think about it. John Lennon.
Which is exactly what I wrote down.
Yeah, that's who it is.
This is, can you believe that we got three musical figures in this?
I mean, that's nuts.
Major musical figures. And yes, of course, we are both right. So I guess we're at sudden death.
Yeah, let's do a sudden death.
We're tied.
Yeah.
All right, you choose music, pop culture, or totally 80s.
Let's do pop culture.
Pop culture. Got it. Card is pulled. Your choices are movies, TV, music, sports and leisure, buzz, or fad.
TV.
Who has anchored both Entertainment Tonight and Extra?
Son of a bitch, I know this. Who's anchored both?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. This wasn't totally 80s, was it?
No, this is pop culture.
Is it? Is it Mario Lopez?
Your answer is Mario Lopez?
Yeah.
My answer is John Tesh, because I honestly don't know.
John Tesh, the keyboard, the fucking composer?
He was on Entertainment Tonight at one point.
I did not know that.
The answer is Lisa Gibbons.
Oh, really? Wow.
Oh, we're still at a tie.
We're still at a tie. We want to still go. I want to keep going until we get a winner.
We need a winner, yes.
Yeah, we need a winner. We need a winner.
Pick another card. 80s, pop culture, seen it.
Let's do an 80s one.
Okay, headlines, TV, movie, music, sports and leisure, or wild card?
Headlines.
What U.S. Secretary of State told Congress, we must cut the Nicaraguan cancer out?
Boy, that is entirely, completely out of my wheelhouse.
Oh, God. I think I know, actually.
We must cut the Nicaraguan cancer out, right?
Yeah.
Boy. Is a congressman? Is that what you said?
Secretary of State.
Secretary of State. Oh, I don't know that.
Told Congress.
I have no clue who the hell a Secretary of State would be around that time frame.
So, no answer?
I hate saying this, but I got nothing. Like, I have no way of knowing.
I'm throwing this out just because I know he was in the Reagan and Bush
administration. Wait a minute.
Somewhere.
Hold on. Can I renege an answer? An answer? I'm going to say John Bolton.
Go ahead. John Bolton?
Yeah.
All right. My answer is, because I know he was in the Reagan administration somewhere,
yeah,
and the Bush, the elder administration somewhere.
Yeah.
My answer is Dick Cheney.
Cheney, okay.
And the answer is George Shultz.
We
were both wrong.
Yep, we're both wrong. Another question.
Dear God.
I think Bolton was the Secretary of Defense or something like that. I can't remember.
All right. Again, well, since we've done pop culture and 80s, let's go to the music card.
Okay.
Green, orange, or yellow?
Yellow.
What 80s new wave favorites featured lead singer Deborah Harry?
Oh, God. Are you kidding me? Blondie.
No, I'm not kidding you.
Blondie.
Blondie is also my answer, and the answer, of course, is Blondie.
Son of a bitch!
It's like now it becomes sudden death, and suddenly you're like, I got the answers, bitch.
It was just like coincidentally, like all the answers that I could possibly have that are on par with you, like, is during the sudden death round. The sudden death round's getting about halfway as long as the regular round. It's hilarious.
I know. Okay. This is the last card. I pulled a pop culture card. Okay.
Okay.
We're going to go from, you can pick, well, you'll pick the category. Okay.
Okay.
And we're just going to try to do this whole card until we get a winner.
Okay.
So movies, TV, music, sports and leisure, or sorry, sports and games, buzz and fad.
Give me movies. We'll go from the top down. Movies. Movies.
Okay. Who played the father of Eddie, the gun stealing poker player in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels?
Oh my God. Who played the father of Eddie?
Yes.
Jesus.
No, it was not Jesus.
Damn it, dude. You broke me. No, sorry, like my my mental image right now is just so stupid. Like part of me goes through just the general like the general Catholic blonde-haired blue-eyed Jesus to like Willem Dafoe to like all of these other people. I have not a clue. I don't even know any like I don't even know any British actors that would have been around that proper age at that time.
Well, so you have no clue.
I got nothing.
I have an answer, and I'm pretty sure that I'm right.
Okay.
The answer I have is Sting.
You gotta be
as in like the musical guy Sting.
Really? Yeah. No, I know who Sting is.
And the correct answer is Sting. I knew that one because I've seen that movie a whole bunch of times.
I was going to say, I have seen it a total of once.
Yeah, I've seen it a bunch of times. I was actually one of the first movies that Jason Statham was in, and he got the part because he used to be a street hustler just like he is in the movie.
Oh, cool.
He used to sell like watches from a briefcase. All right. How about this? What British punk extolled the virtues of sex and drug and rock and roll in 1977?
British punk?
Yeah. I wouldn't know the answer to that one, so.
I mean, maybe Johnny Rotten?
Ian Dury.
Who is it?
Ian Dury.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Yeah. What TV show featured a group of rabid sports fans who loved the Bears?
Saturday Night Live, of course.
Yeah. Who is the first survivor to pose for Playboy?
Survivor?
Yeah, like TV show Survivor.
Oh, I have no idea.
Jerry Manthey. Jerry with an I, so woman, obviously.
Yeah.
What's the name of rapper Jay-Z's clothing line?
Is that Rockaware?
You gotta beat me on that one, sir, because I did not know the answer to that until I looked. However, we should both know the answer to this one. What Star Trek actor recorded the Ballad of Bilbo Baggins in the 1960s?
That's fantastic. Leonard Nimoy.
I was really hoping you'd ask for that question because that was a fun one.
We would have kept going, but that's great.
We would have had to keep going, yes. But well, that's I liked the whole sudden death thing. It was nice to have. I'm sorry I had to have the answer to that one. We couldn't keep it more fun, but still, it was a fun trivia night again. We learned some things. We're going to look at a few things, as we did last time. I love the fact that some of these things just made perfect sense to us, and then others, you know, the way my brain worked for figuring out Viagra was kind of hilarious. but anyway, thank you all for listening again. Thank you for coming along with us doing trivia. Hopefully you were trying to guess the questions too at the same time. And if you were, let us know how you did.
Yeah,
let us
absolutely.
Know if you beat us, because we're looking at 6, 7, 8, 9 total for Mike, and 14 total for me. But let's see if any of you did better than either one of us.
Yeah.
You know, please feel free to comment. And the place that you'd be commenting is either on our Facebook, because we have that. But where else would people comment? Mike, where are people listening to us?
Well, you could be listening to us.
Where can they get a hold of us?
So many places, man. Well, first, you could be checking us out on our website, thezenialchronicles.com or zencron.com, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. We're also available on most of the podcasting websites. We're on TuneIn. We're on Google. We're on Apple. We're pretty much anywhere you can find us. Also, Spotify. I'm sorry, what? Spotify. Yes, that's right.
Spotify, yeah.
Yes, also on Spotify. We also have we're also available on Facebook and YouTube as well. Speaking of Facebook, you could find us at Zencron on Facebook as well as on Twitter that way. And going back to our YouTube, if you're listening to us on YouTube, you're probably checking out our YouTube page. If you're there, please make sure that you click the like button and you click the subscribe button for us. And James, there is one more thing that they have to do. What is that?
Click the bell.
That's right. Click the bell to make sure that you get notified for when we drop another video or podcast or what have you. And yeah, I believe that would be it. James, I have one more thing that I would like to pitch, if you don't mind.
Okay.
In honor of my friend Mark Earl's passing, I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that the Boardwalk is a live music venue that obviously has been struck by the whole issue with COVID in 2020, like any other independent live music venue. So to anybody who's listening, the Boardwalk has a website available at theboardwalkrocks.com. You can go check it out, and they're actually scheduling. I just checked their website out yesterday to find out, and I'm obviously, like, we are not being endorsed by, we're not being paid by, but I want to just throw out some kudos and maybe some help to these guys because they're friends of mine. Go check out their website, theboardwalkrocks.com. They actually have some live shows being shot and broadcast from inside the venue. Scheduled for next year. I was looking at, I think there's a couple, three, four of them that I saw. One's a comedy show. One is an amazing, amazing rock band that I've had the pleasure of doing sound for called The Island of Black and White that you should check out. I think there was another rock show. They're mainly like a rock club, like known as an all-ages rock club, and you should check out the live shows and the acts that they're working with on that website. If you could, theboardwalkrocks.com is where you go for those live shows.
Well, I'm totally in agreement with that. Check them out. It is a great venue,
yeah.
At least from my experience as a customer at that venue.
Yeah.
After you've – and you can put – I'm sure you have the wizardry to put links to that on the various places where they can get a hold of us.
Yeah, I can put it in the description of the podcast, and it should translate to the YouTube video, and it should translate to the Facebook video converse as well. So they should be able to see those links on those websites.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And you can put one up on our website as well if you haven't already.
Absolutely.
There's a way to put a link up there. It's nice to be able to help support local businesses and local businesses that, you know, we have worked with and patronized at different points in time.
Yeah.
They don't have to necessarily support or endorse us. We can still be supportive of them.
Yes.
So
very much so. With
that being said, I won't mention the other YouTube pages that I normally mention for people to go and check out when they're checking out ours.
Yeah.
If you're wondering what those other YouTube pages might be, listen to another one of our podcasts because it's at the end of all of our podcasts.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you all for listening again. Hopefully we were able to do a little bit of a decent tribute to Alex Trebek in this.
Yeah.
And get some fun trivia. And who knows when we'll be back for our next trivia night. I just know they're a whole lot of fun.
They are.
We'll talk to y'all next week.
Yeah, have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.